So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
And welcome everybody, it's Dan Latter, hope you're well today. And today is, I think it's a Monday, I have no idea what day it is, just for a change. So, in today's session, we're actually going to do something that we did last week, but we had a problem last week in that the sound, about 5 minutes into it, it went off, and I had no idea that this actually happened. So then I carried on for about another 20 minutes or so, just talking to myself. Anyway, nobody was listening because the microphone went off, so hopefully the microphone will stay with us today and we can keep going with that microphone and it will actually work, which would be really good. And also, what was the worst thing about it was a really good show. It was full of content, full of really good stuff you could take and implement. Always the case, you do a good show, something goes wrong. And then the next day, when we were trying to do something else, we had a power cut. Like, literally, everything went dark, the whole thing went off, the Wi-Fi went down, everything went off, and anyway, completely ruined. But hopefully that won't happen today. We're going to talk to you about follow-up sequences and about what you need to do in your business in order to implement a follow-up sequence. So one thing I have just noticed, by the way, because we're just doing a lot of... we just got a new PC. So there we go. I can actually see me in the background. I didn't realise that. Okay. So, where were we? Follow-up sequences. Let's talk about those. Before we start, there's one thing that I need you guys to kind of understand about follow-up sequences, and it is, what is the glue between all of this, all of this follow-up sequence? And the glue really should be about a CRM, and we're going to go into depth about a CRM and how in particular that can help you with your follow-up sequence. But the other thing that I need to really point out here is that the whole purpose of a follow-up sequence is because most sales don't take place on a first or a second or a third contact. They take place way down the line, like miles down the line, 8th contact, 58th contact, 108th email, 17th phone call, fourth time meeting them. It can be as long or as short as it is, but you just have to understand that that is the sales cycle. Sometimes it can be really quick, and other times it can be really, really slow. We closed a guy maybe, I think it must have been last year or something like that, and I was like, oh, when was the first time that you saw my stuff? He said, oh, I'll tell you, it was back in 2011, I think it was, in Manchester. You were on the Property Networking Experts panel, I saw you speak there. And I'm like, this is like 10 years later. And literally, that was the sales cycle. We sold him a website, and he had it took 10 years for him to actually come around and actually buy something for us. But throughout all that time, we've done all these lives. You know, we've got over 600 podcasts in the last 5 years, which is phenomenal, by the way. If you think about how many hours we've actually spent talking to a microphone, looking at a camera right there. And, you know, it's amazing when you look at that. But people follow the journey. And sometimes you don't know who is following that journey. So you not putting content out, for example, isn't really going to help. And so let's talk about putting out more content and why that should help. So what happens is, it's 2021, nobody believes anybody about anything anymore, okay? The level of trust online is so low, it's off the scale. I mean, look at politicians. Do you trust a politician, like, anywhere on the planet? Probably not. So what happens with content is that it's your job to try and build up trust and honesty and reassurance. And in order to... and enable that person to continually see you out and about. Now, of course, we've had the pandemic, we've had COVID. Nobody's out and about, really. I know it's kind of released up in England a little bit. But even then, how many meetings are you having per week now on Zoom compared with 2 years ago when, before the pandemic even hit, nobody knew anything about COVID, didn't even know it existed. But at that time, how many Zoom meetings were you having? You were still having some, but you're having a lot of face-to-face meetings. So... you've got to move yourself to a position where people can see you more without having these face-to-face meetings. And the way in which you do that is by having a lot more content. Now, let's have a look. We've got a message here. Please check your streaming settings and set your frames per second to 30. That's fine. That was from LinkedIn. It's always very interesting, is that. Look at that. We've got a streaming monitor. It says we're on a resolution of 1920 and 1080. This is content. This is why you should be putting content out. You can actually see how good quality the streaming is. It's amazing. Now, imagine doing this on a networking event where you have to drive to a networking event. That's 45 minutes. And then you speak at the event, or you're not even speaking at the event. You're just going round one to one, hoping somebody, shaking hands. What do you do? Oh, that's interesting. Shaking hands, having all those conversations 50 times to get round as many people as you can. And then it's 45 minute drive home. So you spent, what, 2 hours, over 2 hours going, meeting, coming back, and you've spoken to 30 people. Or the alternative is you could go live like this, for example. Now, I don't know how many people are going to watch this. I don't know how many people are watching live. And I'm not even fussed about how many people watch live, because really we do this in order to create a podcast. And the podcast then goes out on iTunes and Spotify and Amazon Music and Google Play and all these other places where you can put a podcast. And so we get hundreds of people listening to this message. Hundreds of people will download this podcast episode. 600 podcasts in, we get a few more than just a few hundred people. But now imagine me having to go in a car and drive for an hour, then go meet 100 people, then get in a car and come back. I mean, you just have no time to do anything else. And if I wanted to, I could go live at 9 for half an hour, I could go live at 12 for half an hour, and I could go live at 5 for half an hour. And that hour and a half, I've gone live 3 different times talking about 3 different topics and demonstrating 3 different levels of expertise on various subjects. So like, we could actually have, we got 4 sections here. We've got more content, we've got CRM, we've got email, and we've got phone. We could actually break these into 4 half-hour spots, and I could talk about half-hour spots on each one of these, more than likely. So there's never a shortage of content. What there's a shortage of is you demonstrating to people how good you are, demonstrating your expertise and enabling them to see that you can actually do the work for them. Like in our digital marketing agency, one of the biggest things that people come back to us and tell us is how much time it saved them, because now they're not having to mess about on Canva and schedule all the content and then create videos and edit videos and all this extra stuff that goes into it. They don't have to do any of that. The other thing that we get is they get a level of conversation but they don't get anywhere else, because most of our clients are, you know, the running businesses with staff, but you can't have a director level conversation with a staff team member. That's why they speak to us. And we have quite in-depth conversations about all sorts of random stuff that appears random, but actually is one of the things that's stopping them from growing. Anyway, content is where it's at. And the more content that you can put out, the better this is going to be for you and your business. So the question for you is, what type of content can you do? How often can you do it? And so that's kind of where we come in a little bit. So obviously we've got a digital marketing agency, but for example, this that you see right now, our digital team created the thing above. They created my little name tag there. The thing over there on the right, I actually created that in Canva just because I have to edit it every single day because we have different topics. And then that little arrow, I can actually move that arrow around. Look at that. It's looking really cool. I can actually move the arrow around. So I can create the content really easily, and I don't need my team to be involved on a day-to-day basis. But then there are other types of content as well. So the other types of content are things like images and videos with text on and music on. And so, you know, for that needs a professional person to be able to come in and edit that video or make the images look better. I mean, some of my images actually look quite good, and I look like this, for goodness sake. So it's a miracle, I think. That they can make the image look half decent. What I always laugh about, by the way, is Brian Tracy, who's in his 80s, and I'm sure he's a very nice man, but he uses a video from like 40 years ago, and it's so touched up. And then you meet him, and he's like a wrinkly old man. And then on his social media content, he's like, he's smooth as you like. I always find that quite funny. And I'm not a big believer in that, by the way. I think if you're going to put content out, you should be ensuring that you are consistent and authentic in how you present yourself. So, for example, I am me. This is me. One of the biggest things I get time and time again when people meet me in real life, I go, oh, you're just like you are on YouTube or on Facebook. You're just, oh, I feel like I already know you because you're just like you are. And it's absolutely true. You get what you see. I'm very, very authentic, and we say what we feel, and sometimes that gets us into quite a lot of trouble. But we're fine with that. We quite enjoy that, actually. So your ability to put out more content will be directly proportional to the amount of interest that you're gaining. And one thing I've definitely noticed is that when we go live, and then, you know, the magic happens after the live, by the way. So after we go live like this, and we might get one person watching, we might get 10 people watching, we might get 50 people watching. Who knows? Who cares? That's not the important bit. The important bit is what happens after we go live. So we get the videos, they go out and then they get shared. And then we've got the podcast and they go out onto Spotify and iTunes, like we said before. And so that's the stuff that gets promoted. And people can listen to that while they're on the tube going home, while they're baking with the kids. You know, they can run it through Spotify, they can run it through Alexa and so on. I shouldn't say Alexa because we've got an Alexa just down there and it will probably play music or something, which what we don't want. So you should be getting out there. And we, you know, we've been saying this for years. When you look at what you've got available to you right now in terms of resources to get your message out there, it's crazy. In fact, it's not just crazy. It's criminal that people are not going live more often. You want your own radio show? This is it if you listen to a podcast. You want your own TV show? Look, we've got little graphics just like you have on the telly. This is your TV show, effectively. And the people that want to watch this will watch this. And those that don't might go and listen to the podcast. And those that don't want to do that, they might go and, I don't know, they'll see you on social media as they're going through their scroll and they consistently see you going live. At some point, they're going to stop and go, what's that about? And they're going to go and take a look. So that's the content side. And, you know, in terms of following up, this is not a direct way to follow up. This is an indirect way. But just because people are not talking to you, it doesn't mean that people are not watching what you do. People are always watching, and it's something that you've got to bear in mind. And the way that you present yourself out to the world also has to be borne in mind. It also has to be at the front of your thought process, because the way that you present yourself in the virtual world, which is what you're watching or listening to right now, will translate to how people deal with you in the real world. Okay, so next up then is a CRM. What is a CRM? Well, a CRM is a customer relationship management and tool, I guess. And for us, we use ActiveCampaign. And one of the big reasons why we use ActiveCampaign is that when we're logging into ActiveCampaign, immediately we can see who's clicked what on our ActiveCampaign dashboard. And so it'll say, Bob's opened an email, Joanne's subscribed, Ian's clicked the link for website design. So we're like, oh, look, Ian's clicked the link for website design. Let's send him a message. And so our CRM will enable us to see who is doing what and when. And this is what happens, folks. It's really crazy. Now, it depends on if they're already on our database or not. It's just the way that ActiveCampaign works. But if they are, and they land on a website page, ActiveCampaign will tag them. Looked at the website page, and then because I can see on the ActiveCampaign dashboard, Ian's clicked on the website page. Let's send Ian an email. And so that email will say, hey, Ian, I noticed you were looking at the website design page. Is that something that you're interested in? And Ian will go, oh my gosh, that's amazing. How did you know that? And we know that because we can see it. Let me turn one of my phones off. It keeps beeping at me for some reason. I don't know why it keeps beeping. Get rid of it. So that's why we use the CRM, and that's why you should be using something like ActiveCampaign as well. Most people, I ask them, I go, what CRM do you use? And they go, oh, no, we haven't got one of them. I've got names and addresses on business cards. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, okay, how many of them have you got? And we go, oh, 1,000. I'm like, okay, do you phone them up? Do you, like, go through them and just phone them randomly? No. Okay, do you email them? No. What do you do with them? I've just got them. What's the point in having them if you're not going to use them? You've got to use them for something. So you should be using them into your CRM. Now, there's a GDPR thing here where if you're just getting someone's business card and putting it into your database, it's questionable from a GDPR point of view. Frankly, even if you say to them, oh, can I put you in my database and I'll send you an email? And they go, yes. I would say even that's questionable, by the way. In the olden days, every business card would go into a CRM. These days, we got to be a little bit more cleverer about that. And so the way in which we get people into our CRM is by giving away free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff. And you know, there's an argument that says if you give it away for free, you get bad customers or they're just tire kickers and people who are prepared to pay. And whilst I agree with that, just filling up your database with people that you can send an email out to, is actually a good thing. Let me put it like this. If you've got 200 people on your database, or you've got 2,000 people on your database, and you send them an email for website design, let's say, do you think you're going to get better results from the 2,000 amount of people on a database or 200? Obviously, it's this one, okay? So why are you not filling up your database? Why are you not filling up and creating free giveaways? And like, note to Dan, you need to create some more free giveaways. We're so bad. We're so busy with our clients. We forget to do it for ourselves. But this is how we've actually grown our database. And one of the reasons why we've got a successful digital marketing agency is because we give out a load of free stuff. We've got a wonderful Facebook ads guide, which gets downloaded every single day. And so these people are now coming onto our database. We can send them random emails about whatever, and they respond to them or they click them, and then we send them an email. Hey, I noticed you clicked on Facebook ads. Is that something you're thinking about implementing in your business? Would you like to book a strategy call? And by the way, if you've not booked a strategy call and you want to have a chat about what your next 12 months is going to look like on your digital marketing strategy, click the link down below and then just fill in a form and come and have a chat. But that right there is why you should be using a CRM system within your business. And if you haven't got one, now look, you need one, right? But don't go and get the cheapest thing going. MailChimp. Should we talk about MailChimp for a second? Please, I know it's free. Like the business cards from Vistaprint that are free of charge, there's a reason for free. It's shit. Stop using MailChimp. I couldn't even remember the name of it. Stop using it. It's rubbish. Move over to ActiveCampaign. You can go Infusionsoft at the top. You've got MailChimp down here at the bottom, and sat nicely in the middle at a nice price point is ActiveCampaign. ActiveCampaign, you can collect all the email addresses. You can put names and addresses on there and use a mail merge and send out letters and so on using DocMail. You know, we've sent out 1,000 letters. We pulled a list off the database and we put them into DocMail. And we sent out 1,000 letters without touching any letters, any stamps or any envelopes. And it was all automated and it was less than the cost of a second class stamp. That's how clever it can be. But forget about being clever. Think about going back to basics and just seeing who clicked on that email, who clicked on the link inside the email. They landed on that page. Why don't I send them an email? That's how your CRM system should be used. And let's talk about emails then. So on your email follow-up sequence, you should have a series of automated emails that goes out. Now, when we first start out our automated sequence, we send it out on day 1, 3, 5, 7, 11, and then it pretty much goes out every, I think it's 11 days or 9 days. Two things there. One is we use a Fibonacci sequence when we're first somebody first signs up, so it's 1, 3, 5, 7, 11. And the reason why we do that is because it sounds clever. That's literally it. There's no scientific reason, no scientific evidence for anything about that, but it kind of makes sense. You know, 1, 3, well, technically 2, I suppose, but 1, 3, 5, 7, can't be divided by another number only by itself. So, you know, prime numbers effectively. That's why we do it in this particular way. When somebody first signs up, if you're sending an email every single day, by day 7, you've just lost them because they're going to unsubscribe because they're so fed up of getting your emails. I've signed up to email systems like that and got an email every single day. It drives me bloody mad. So what you want to do is, you know, you get an email immediately and then they wait one day and then they get the next email and then they wait, 3 days? And then they get another email. Then they wait another, 5 days? And then they get another email and then they wait 7 days and then they're on this rotation. So that's the first reason. Second reason why we don't send it out every 7 days is that if someone for some reason subscribes at 1 o'clock in the morning, Sunday night, you know, Monday morning, 1 o'clock, Sunday night, Monday morning, right? 1 o'clock in the morning. Then every email that they get 7 days from then is going to be at that time, Monday morning. Like, what do you think the best time for opening, sending emails is? Mondays, when people are just getting in, they've got a whole weekend worth of emails? I don't think so. Tuesday is when we send ours. So we actually do two things. First of all, we get them to wait until the Tuesday. So after they do the 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, not that 9's a prime number, 11. Then we get them to wait until Tuesday, and then we put another little thing in there that says, please wait till 10:30 a.m. so that they only get emails at 10:30 a.m. because that's when we found, for us and our client base, and you'll have a different type of client base, but that's when we found that they actually open the emails the most compared with other times and days. And so that's why we do it in that particular way. But again, you can use that using your CRM that you should be investing in, because that's your business. It's not a cost, it's an investment. And if you're doing that properly, you start to get more engagement on your emails. And we get people emailing us back random, like just random. You know, we send out an email and the guy that signed up 2 years ago compared to the guy that signed up a year ago, they're getting different emails depending on how long they've been on our database for. So, for example, if someone signs up today, a week from now, they'll get a specific email. And then if somebody else signs up tomorrow, a week from them, from then, they will get the same email 7 days from when they first signed up. So it's based around when they actually signed up. And because of that, we've now got an email system. I don't know how many emails. I count them and then I lose count because there's that many. There's over 60, 70 emails. So for the next 60 or 70 weeks or so, about 2 years worth, in fact, they're going to get an email from me. And every time we write a really good post on Facebook, or every time I write something and I think, yeah, this could make a good email, I copy it, I paste it, stick it into our email system, add it onto the automation. So it's yet another email that's going out and I don't even have to do anything. I write the email once, it goes out forever. If you sign up 5 years from now, chances are you'll probably still get the same email that I wrote 2 years ago. As long as it's relevant, which it is, because I write them to be relevant regardless of what's going on in the world. Do people need a new website? Yeah. Will people need a new website in 10 years? Of course they bloody well will. Will people need strategy sessions for digital marketing in 20 years? Of course they will. It makes no difference. I mean, I would imagine that in 20 years we've probably updated those emails. But you get the general gist. And so that's why we do it in that way. So just to finish up then, the next one here is on using the phone system. And the phone device is the most underutilized piece of equipment, I think, in 2021. Everybody sends emails. I know I've just told you to send emails, and you should be sending emails, but you should also be using your mobile phone. And we've got this thing called WhatsApp. On WhatsApp now, I mean, I've just installed it on my new PC, and I've got desktop WhatsApp. So now, instead of having to type on my phone, get neck ache and two thumb typing, I can, you know, type away on the keyboard. My handyman is like, how come you can type so fast? I'm like, dude, I'm using a proper keyboard. That's why. I'm not two thumbs. I'm typing away, typing War and Peace on the keyboard. So you've got all these different mechanisms that you can use that will utilize your phone system. And it can be an actual phone call. It can be a text message. It can be a WhatsApp. It can be, and I hate these, but it can be a voice message sent over WhatsApp. I've cancelled voicemail. I literally don't have voicemail. And people then send me voicemails on WhatsApp. I'm like, you do know I'm not listening to that, right? But different people will respond to different ways. Some will respond to a voicemail left on WhatsApp. Some people respond by message, text message. That's me for sure. You want to get hold of me and you're phoning me. That's not happening. You send me a WhatsApp, you get a response, and an email. You more than likely you'll get a response. Depends how busy I am, of course, because we can't respond to everybody. But more often than not, we respond to as many people as we can. But the phone, you should be hitting those phones. Bob, let's get on a phone call. Let's have a chat about what that problem is right now. Let's have a chat about how we can help you solve this particular problem. What can we do to help you along? Let's get on a call. Should we book a strategy call? Like, you can do that and you can get people on a call. And then when people are on the call, so tell me what you got. What have you got going on? What are you stuck on? Where do you need help in your business? Is there something I can do to plug that gap for you? Now you're getting into interrogative type questions, interrogative statements. You're asking questions, you're finding out answers, and you're able to match up what you can do with what they're looking for. And so that, my friends, it sounds, you know, in the last, what we've been live for 24 minutes, that sounds like an awful lot of work. And it is an absolute ton of work. But like the emails, once they're done, they're done. The CRM becomes a habit. Creating content, it doesn't, you know, it takes, we've been live for 25 minutes and this piece of content will stay alive for the rest of my life. Somewhere on YouTube and somewhere on iTunes and somewhere on Spotify, it will stay out there and people will be listening to this content 2 years from now. And so that's how relevant this is. And that's why you've got to make this transition to improving your follow-up sequence so that you can grow your business. All right, I hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on the next video. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.